Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about something that's getting more and more attention, and that's the digital patient experience. And here to talk about it is Napura Kohlwalker. She's the Chief Product Officer for Brightree. Napura, welcome to the podcast.
Looking forward to it, David. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's dive into our conversation. This is going to be a good one. Let's start with the basics. What is the digital patient experience?
Great question. Asked one too many times. Let's even go to the most basic one, and I'll come to digital patient experience. Let's talk about patient engagement. And many times in our industry, we compare patient engagement to social media engagement. So I just want to set the tone of patient engagement and then work ourselves backwards to patient experience. Patient engagement means ensuring the patient is taking ownership of their health condition to drive better patient outcomes, specifically when they're managing their own health at home and outside of the hospital setting. When patients are engaged in managing their own health, they gain a good sense of ownership. They know how to demonstrate improved adherence to their therapy, as well as using their devices appropriately. That in turn leads to patient loyalty back to our home care providers, if you will. Now, in order to create this patient engagement in their own health, the founding block of this is patient experience. And today it's becoming more and more digital. What does patient experience mean? You know, small things. Let's just compare ourselves to a Netflix analogy or Amazon analogy. We get on, we choose what we want to do, and it is served to us. That's consumer experience. With patients, all they're saying is, I need my medication on time. Can you tell me where to go get it? Once I get it, if I have any questions, who can I ask? And can I do all of this with convenience as a big factor of that service? Can I do it on my own patient time? Can I get through this in a very busy day? So when you think about patient experience, is making life easy for the patient so the patient stay engaged in their health. Now, what is digital patient experience? Let's take the example of Netflix or Amazon. When the consumer decides to get something on the Amazon app, they go ahead, search for the product, look it up, find it, they hit the buy button. If they don't like that, they can easily return that with the app in front of them. Same thing with Netflix. What they like, they find out, they watch for it, and Netflix drives them through that process. What is enabling that digital experience for that consumer? It's an extremely thoughtful, well-orchestrated, behind-the-scenes, intelligent supply chain of the events that interact with the patient. To me, that is digital patient experience. The ability to solve these small interaction problems and reduce the customer overhead associated to creating that interaction for the patient drives to a much better patient experience. When using text, emails, portals, apps, it becomes a digital patient experience.
Got it. And this is something that you guys have been pursuing for a while. I remember seeing, I think a couple of years ago, there was a really good demo at the Brightree booth at MedTrade that was, I believe it was called the Patient Hub. Do I have that right?
Yes, you got that right, David.
Okay. All right. So this is something you guys have been working on for a while, but we're hearing it more and more. Why and how has the digital experience, patient experience come to the fore? I'm assuming COVID-19 is a big driver, but maybe there's some other factors as well.
So, you definitely hit it right. It is COVID-19. Brightree, just like many other software solution vendors in the industry, are working and have been working towards bringing the right digital modality to the patients. However, in the case of healthcare being provided to the patient in home, which is where Brightree excels at from a software solution offering standpoint, COVID-19 brought a whole new requirement to usher this rapid adoption of digital innovation. Because the patients were not able to come into the HME and DME for their masks or get the treatment or have that conversation. So now our healthcare providers, our customers, were looking to still continue that relationship with the patient with the social distancing, with the remote aspect of this relationship that drove a much higher focus on how to engage patients digitally, not just on a portal, which we call Patient Hub. So it's a lot more than what we have traditionally been focused on, which is our Patient Hub, which continues to be a front and center aspect of the strategy, to a thoughtful orchestration of that patient experience with the hub as a part of that experience.
I think you kind of touched on this in your last answer, but what were some of the drivers towards managing and facilitating and, I guess, optimizing this digital patient experience prior to COVID?
There are a couple of very distinct factors in play. One is the consumer inside of that patient has been rapidly adopting the Amazon experience. He is a strong Prime member, and he expects that Prime member experience in any setting that is servicing that patient and that consumer inside the patient inside of that. So Amazon is bringing this whole shift in the mindset of this patient. That's one factor, that if Amazon can serve me well and serve me so conveniently to me and to them, why not my own healthcare provider? Now, let's add on top of it, the patient, as reimbursement environment changes, has changed significantly in the last decade, is going to change in the upcoming decade. The consumer owns a good portion of what they have to pay for this patient service they're receiving. So now it has gone from, oh, I am being dictated who to go to, why to go, when to go because of my insurance, do I have a active role to play in how I develop this relationship with my care provider? When you couple those two factors and think about the patient now is responsible for a higher pay, self-pay, combined with Amazon teaching them what to expect when you're inside the home from a service standpoint, has driven the patient to expect this digital interaction modality with our customers. So when you look at all of the things led up to COVID, which is the changes in reimbursement and the changes in how consumers interacting with e-commerce, you couple that with COVID-19 that forced everybody to go home and work from home, there is no doubt in anyone's mind anymore, neither the patient nor the customer say, this is here to stay, and this is our first way to interact with the patient instead of a traditional, let's meet with each other.
Okay, so at the outset, you know, we've had this increasing expectation for a retail experience that's analogous to something like Amazon, but, you know, in healthcare, which is a big change for a lot of providers, I think, who we're dealing with primarily Medicare patients, let's say 10, 12 years ago. And now we've had COVID hit. Of course, that's increased the need. But how? How did COVID really change things up and magnify the need to manage the digital patient experience?
Fantastic question again. So let's take the example of a pre-COVID scenario. A patient gets diagnosed with sleep apnea. He's given reference to most likely one of our Brightree customers. The patient gets called by our customer. The patient is asked to come in and get set up on the device once they receive the CPAP device. This used to be traditionally a very in-person interaction. When COVID hit, this interaction overnight had to be moved into a digital interaction where the patient was behind a screen working through that device, trying to fit it while someone digitally on screen guiding him to go through that process. It was new for the respiratory therapist teaching the patient to do this behind a screen. And it was new for the patient to learn how to self-onboard on a completely new and sometimes a complicated device, right?
Yeah.
That example illustrates what just happened overnight. No one had really expected that. To me, that just set the tone of what can be in the future as the patient demographic changes and more of the patients that show up will be digitally savvy. It just says we broke through a glass with COVID-19, but the transformation is here to stay because now everyone knows how to get past this initial inhibition of interacting digitally to address a health problem.
Got it. So, okay. So that is the ultimate overnight change. And every provider I've talked to, it has been so mind-boggling and absolutely impressive how they've definitely moved into this realm, especially with services and products that are hard to onboard, like sleep or like respiratory equipment. Just crazy. So, all right. So we know what providers needed to do. What have been the technologies that have really helped them? And let's take this. Let's do this. Let's break this down. Let's do it broadly in terms of U.S. healthcare as a whole. What have been the technologies in U.S. healthcare as a whole? And then we'll go more granularly. But the technologies that have helped facilitate managing this digital patient experience.
It's a daily feed in the morning for me. Apps are here to stay, whether we like it or not. People are developing apps every single day to manage a very specific aspect of a patient's experience in the healthcare realm. I do believe in this rush to bring these apps to the market, the point is missed in a few places. One is there is an immediate comparison of how the patient should engage over a digital app for their healthcare to how the consumer and the person inside that patient engages in social media for a social outcome. Is there is a plethora of apps, unbelievable amount of adoption of texting, emails, they will always be here, and a resurrection of the use of portals. So the communication channels have stayed pretty much the same. The options in the industry have gone up significantly. One other one that comes to mind is SuccessFactor in IVR, which is automated calling, where the patient can just really quickly press in one or two, respond to it. I always compare that to my Delta experience. When I have to cancel a flight, I dial the number, it's one or two, one or two, one or two, and I'm done. I never have to talk to anybody. So that is gaining a ton of popularity in patient experience for appointments, rescheduling or scheduling, for signing up for patient self-pay or auto-pay or putting credit card in the file, changing the credit card. It is gaining a lot of popularity through the last couple of years, I would say post-COVID. What I feel that we could probably, as U.S. healthcare owners and industry influencers, we can do is think about how do these apps really come together to make the right experience for the patient in each aspect of their journey. That's where I wake up, I read these news feeds, and over the coffee, I'm thinking, wow, I have 1,000 different apps I can download on my phone, and it still doesn't address my basic need that I just want to get my health taken care of. That's where I feel U.S. healthcare is right now in terms of bringing technology into the market, being very successful at developing awesome technology, but missing the point that the patient's not going to have 1,000 apps on their phone.
Now, we've looked at U.S. healthcare as a whole. Let's now get down to the HME layer here. How is this trickling down to them? And I guess what I mean is, you know, what are the technologies that are making sense for them? And I and and uh, I I think you alluded to it a little bit in your earlier reply, but I'm also curious how that meets up with the patient expectations and the referral partner expectations. You know, because that's an interesting one. You know, the provider thinks they know what's right. But as you said, you know, what the patient might want is something different, and what the referral partner might want is something different. So how is this all kind of, you know, how is this all kind of evening out for HME provider businesses?
Here is what I, you know, when I meet with a lot of our large customers and even small customers, there is a rush to say, we want to bring texting campaigns, we want to text the patient, we want to make an app available, we want to make a portal available. I always, in this conversation, suggest, let's take a step back. Let's think about what the patient is looking from you. They're never going to say, give me the best looking app so I can be here and loyal to you because you provided me the best service. Really speaking, that first touch, you know, the first touch with the patient, making the most out of your first outreach to a new patient is critical. How do you make it very low friction for the patient without a lot of overwhelming the patient with, go ahead and download this app, go ahead and sign up in a portal versus just a, hey, welcome to, say, ABC Medical. Please expect to receive the next few notifications via text. Would you like to receive notifications? Yes or no. In that, you would have collected consent. In that, you would have felt the patient to, you would have given the patient the ability to feel belonged, that, hey, I got you. The third piece is you are informing them of what's to come next. Through the first order, very critical, through the first order, keep your patient in the loop. It takes a little bit to get that first order process because the process is in itself complicated. You have to get all the documentation in place. You have to get signatures. There are probably physician touch points. There are referral touch points, insurance touch points. The patient needs to know where his first order is in that journey of supply chain. How do you find those very standardized notifications that you send to the patient? Now, this patient is not yours fully. The loyalty has not established. So do it through the least invasive modality, which tends to be a text or an email. When you start to go the first order, you start to help them see financial transparency. Now, at this point, you start to eventually turn the patient to say, we want to share sensitive information about your account with you. We encourage you to move in and sign up for our portal, not even an app at this point, right? How do you create an environment for the patient wanting to trust you because you've considered the privacy of that patient while communicating with the patient? During the first order, right after the first order, don't forget these emotional touch points. There are points where the patient is going to be frustrated. Ensure that they know who's going to deliver their product. You know, just know your driver, know your ETA, allowing them to respond to you and let the workflow be managed according to the patient's response brings a sense of belonging to the patient that I'm cared for through this very difficult process. And at the end of that first order, ask for feedback. Tell the patient that how they provide their feedback will help determine the long-term relationship. That's when you would have built your first digital relationship and would be the right point to tell them, hey, come on to our app experience. This is how easy it is to order your next resupply. That's how you develop and orchestrate a patient experience by mixing the modalities inside of your touch points, sometimes a text, sometimes an email, move to a portal sign up, then to an app. If you reverse that and say, for you to get anything out of us, you need to be on our app, you're going to lose that patient fast enough because the patient doesn't want another app in the already 1,000 apps that he has on his phone. So I always say, forget the technology, forget the latest and the greatest look and feel. Think about the patient convenience when you choose the modality. And I say it starts with a text, hopefully the relationship ends on being on the app that you choose for your patient.
Okay, so now I guess next question for me is, how does a provider manage all this? You know, how do they, and I guess it's kind of twofold, because it's how do they manage, you know, going from maybe that text encounter to hopefully, you know, downloading the app and all that. But how do they make sure that they're doing right, you know, by this patient with their digital patient experience? Because I imagine that's an act of kind of fine tuning, you know, throughout your relationship with that patient, because their preferences might change or, you know, their circumstances might change. How do they manage all this?
Here are a few pointers. First, the patient expectations don't change drastically from therapy to therapy. All they want to know is they're taken care of. They know what's going on. They have financial transparency, and they're able to update their information as and when they go to be connected with you at their convenience. How do you make it at their convenience? By automating and orchestrating the touch points that we just talked about earlier. How does the provider do that? You know, many times in many prospect conversations and customer conversations, a lot of our customers are buying and getting, you know, text vendors and email vendors on top of Brightree. What we're evolving towards in Brightree is helping them develop this generic patient journey that is configured in the product. What that means is, would you know, just like Brightree is being implemented in the field today, we would say, all right, do you want to, as a part of developing this journey for your patient, do you want to send a welcome message? In the welcome message, do you want to collect consent? We always encourage providers to collect consent at touch points, not necessarily always a blanket consent. And when I say that because the patient doesn't know what they don't know. There are certain aspects of communication that the patient is going to need more than the provider having to provide these updates and notifications. So educating the patient of what to expect is the next step. And then the third one is enabling your system to capture these preferences that the patient may have, whether it's an email preference, a text preference, having a policy to capture these preferences of the patient and documenting it for a future audit, because there's a lot of regulation around patient privacy, and rightfully so, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about all of these distinct things and you think about the staff and the different roles that our HME provider has, I always encourage our customers to say, identify a patient success champion. Usually a patient success champion is someone who is a little bit above each of those roles, is in a management position that has oversight responsibilities, understands the workflow of an HME, and wants to speak on behalf of the patient, not just on behalf of the customer operations. Those are key things that an HME leader, HME provider should be thinking about putting in place before they even start to consider what technologies, how many different technologies, which customer, which patient, and which technology. All of that becomes very secondary. The first one is documenting a very generic patient journey that enables you to get off on this digital experience offering. And then over a period of time, improving upon it with an in-house patient success champion that is probably in a mid-management role or is the owner himself or herself sometimes.
Got it. Okay. So and I love the idea of kind of a champion. That's because that really is kind of the what am I thinking? That this whole thing is really kind of the nexus where, technology and automation and convenience still need that human layer to kind of oversee all this and engage where necessary. Okay, now, how does a provider get started with this? How do they implement their digital patient experience? Because I know for some some providers that might seem like a big ask, or for other providers, they might be thinking about back office integration. How do they kind of springboard into this?
What I always think is there's a starter kit. We're actually in the process at Brightree of putting the starter kit together to offer to our HME providers. What does a starter kit entail? A template for a journey map, right? As I said, when it comes down to what is the patient expecting, the patient is expecting always the same few things across any therapy. Now, there may be nuances because of the complexity of the condition the patient manages for herself. So a starter kit that says, here is your journey map template. Here are some of the nuances you should consider in each therapy that you represent in your care setting. The third one is a consideration and an oversight on what demographic are you looking at in your population to determine the touch point modality. And then the fourth piece is really upfront investing in having a consultative approach and a consultant working alongside your patient success champion to put this starter kit into a couple of things: policies that collect patient consent, product configuration, like how to configure Brightree to ensure that patient experience is evolving for the patients with a very low overhead, and a set of training documents that the intake specialist has, the billing specialist has, common terminology that they use when they're in person or over the phone interacting with the patient, driving them to make a digital first choice of interaction. So I believe that starter kit is super critical. Investing dollars in putting the starter kit into action with a consultant becomes just as critical to ensure the long-term journey of all their patients is digital first in nature.
Okay, that's really interesting. I love the idea of this roadmap. Okay, so if providers want to find out more, where can they go?
Come to brightree.com and come talk to us. So email address, info@brightree.com. And our phone number is 1-833-916-1554.
Okay, all right. Well, Napura, thanks so much for taking some time to tell us about the digital patient experience.
I have enjoyed being with you today, David, and I look forward to a day where every patient can have a digital first experience like the Prime member.
All right, there you go. There you go. Thanks a lot, Napura. Okay, thanks again to Napura Colewalker. She's the Chief Product Officer for Brightree. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. If you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, like new podcast episodes, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And in fact, we're coming out with so many editions of that it's more than weekly at this point. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. If you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Post Acute News, or you can hit me up via email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling topics like the digital patient experience. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.